Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Welcome to the grand final edition of Chicks Talking Footy, also known as Christmas to some. I'm Fee Newton. In the studio with me tonight, I have Susanna Mott, also known as Motti, and Bree McCauley, also known as Breeza. Welcome, chicks.
Yay. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Merry grand final Christmas. So, big show coming up, and we've made tonight all about the fans, haven't we?
It should be. Grand final.
We've had many special guests throughout the year, but we wanted to talk to the fans of West Coast and Collingwood as they have one of the biggest weeks of their life coming up this weekend. So we'll be talking to Michelle Redfern, Casey Simons, and Paige Cordana, who we've had on the show.
Mate, you've been doing so well.
Cardona.
Cardona.
Your pronunciation's been ace last month.
Yeah, this year I had a resolution to pronounce names much better, and I think I've done a lot better.
Yes.
Anyway, we'll also talk about the big weekend as a Hawks supporter, of course. The VFL and VFLW both... Hawks teams won the premiership in one day.
A double.
It's a new kind of double.
Mm. Was it fun watching them?
Honestly, it was. I gathered the Hawks Pride group together and we all sat behind the goals and Angie Green came and joined us for a little bit as well, and we had a great time. And honestly, just so proud of the girls. I mean, you know, they've only had a team for 2 years. They didn't even get an AFLW licence. People would not take some of the people at the Hawks Club's calls about a women's football. Mm. And we've just defied the odds and won a premiership. So
yeah,
It was a pretty special moment. I stayed for half of the men's as well.
And they're great friends of our show. Like, we've had Patty on and some of the other girls, and we had Emma Mackey on.
Yeah, we had Emma Mackey on. She looked pretty excited. We've had Meg Hutchins on the show. Mm.
Yeah.
And, some of those girls had played football for 16 years and finally got their premiership. So, yeah.
So go girls.
Go girls. Yeah. Very happy.
Congratulations. And to Geelong.
Well done. Yeah. Well done, Patty and the team. We have our usual dinner table chat. Monty, you've got some questions, Q&A for us during that chat.
Well, I am. Given the ABC are in turmoil, I thought I'd do my own Q&A.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, so we'll be peppering questions.
Well, in that case, if you're not sacked by the end of the week, you'll be doing well. So you can SMS us on 0427 569 949 or email onair@joy.org.au. We want to hear what you do for grand final day and what your catering is.
Yes.
Is it sushi?
Is it a cheese plate?
Is it a sausage in bread? What is it?
Are you a Melbourne supporter? Are you a cheese plate person?
That's right. What do you eat? What do you do on Grand Final Day?
I've got sort of entree main. If I'm watching at home, I will have, something to start with. It could be, maybe it is the hot dog, homemade hot dog or something, and then I'll have the party pies at halftime.
Oh,
yeah. Tradition.
I'll tell you what I do on Grand Final Day pretty much in a moment. But let's have a look at...
thank you.
Thank you. Dun, dun, dun. I'm stating what I'm going to do later. So we're going to have a look at the prelim finals. Wow, what a weekend. Now, Breeza.
Yeah.
You were the only team on Chicks Talking Footy, Richmond.
Yes.
That were playing. And Richmond Collingwood on the Friday night.
Yeah.
What a shocking game that was.
Well, no, if you're a Pies supporter.
Yeah, but I tell you what, no, I don't think anyone expected it to be quite...
No, shocking result more.
That's right.
Because the game, there was... amazing elements to the game.
Yeah. No one could have predicted the way Collingwood were going to play. They clearly played one incredible game, out-of-the-box game, that completely took Richmond by surprise. Mm. Like, they did not let Richmond play their style of game at any stage of the match.
So what happened? Did Richmond peak too early in the season, do you think?
No, I just think all credit to Collingwood. I think they just played well. Like, we didn't play well. And they played a super game.
Because I look at the build-up to the finals last year with Richmond, and there was just a hunger and a energy about the team. that didn't seem to be there as much this year, and I don't know if that was just complacency or...
Well, no, the circumstances were different. Like, so Richmond finished third last year, so everything was opposite for us this year. We finished minor premiers, so we played the first game, we won through, we had like something like 26 days off, but that's no excuse. We had the same amount of break last year. But then coming into a prelim, we played the first game. Last year we played the twilight game. Like, we were always second because we finished, we were the lower ranked team. No one expected Richmond to win last year. This year there was an element of expectation. And we were doing so well, you know, handling that weight of expectation throughout the season. And I just think it's really hard to win prelims. Like, it's really hard to win prelims. It's hard to stay on top of your game for the entire season. I know teams have done it. I know Hawthorn has done it. But recent history shows that, you know, the favourites don't often win the flag.
Yeah, I was like, I said to someone, and this is just my opinion, but I thought it would have actually, I think Richmond would have done them a favour to have lost a game late in the season, like when they nearly lost to Western Bulldogs. It just, you know, sometimes when a team loses, it jolts them.
It gives them a reset.
Yeah.
So, Bree, would you, I heard certain people or scribes say that Collingwood beat Richmond at their own game. Do you think that's what happened?
Yeah, and I've said on this show many times throughout the season, I saw a lot of Richmond in Collingwood throughout the season. And the style of game and the system that they have is very similar to Richmond. You know, they finished 13th. Like, the similarities between the clubs is uncanny. They finished 13th. They're now playing off in a grand final. Bucks has just been named Coach of the Year. You know, he was threatened to lose his job, like Dimmer. They backed him in. They've done a review. You know, kudos to that club.
I actually put a post up on our Instagram while the game was playing, and I said politicians could learn a lot from Richmond and Collingwood because they stuck with their leaders through thick and thin, and it's paid off. And I think that's true. The club's really stuck by it. People were literally calling for blood and calling for them to be sacked. And
I think I would. I said it probably. And Eddie, it was Eddie and Bucks going, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The chat last year.
You're eating humble pie from the fridge after that.
Yeah. I mean, I think in hindsight, we probably shouldn't have played Asprey or Dusty. Like, I don't think you take, you know, not fit players into a prelim, but I understand, you know, what Dimmer said after the game. Dusty would have killed him if he didn't play. Like, it is cutthroat. You know, you lose, you go home. So you want your best players out there. So I understand why they played them, but in hindsight, they were probably not up to their level that they normally are.
Breeza, I heard a really interesting thing about Dusty's injury. Because it was a cork and quite a severe one, the blood often flows down the back of your knee. And you can tell that it's doing that. And so you go to the doctor or you tell the club or whatever. But because he's so heavily tattered, he couldn't see the discoloration moving down his leg. So when he finally kind of worked that out, he went to the doctors or whatever, and it was like 2 days late.
Yeah, right.
Had something happened earlier. I mean, this is a guy at work told me, and he does know a lot of people within the game.
Yeah,
fascinating.
So I sort of do trust that that's the case. But isn't that interesting?
Yeah, really. And you knew Dusty wasn't on. I mean, he competed in the first centre bounce and then went straight to the forward line.
Six kicks.
Yeah, he just wasn't.
Yeah, and people could actually tackle him. So that was
Collingwood looked amazing.
Oh, they did.
Brody Grundy.
And Mason Cox, seriously.
Yes. And still side bottom.
He just tore the game apart. Like, we couldn't stop the ball getting into them. Like, I felt bad for our defence. Like, and defenders get the rough end of the stick. But to beat Collingwood this week, and we'll talk about it later, but you have to stop the ball getting into their forward line. Because Mason Cox,
definitely got to coach a team.
Will win every contest. He's like 7 foot tall. He's like the size of a building.
But I think that's we will talk about it later because I think that's an interesting point about how the grand final will play out.
Yeah.
And in a moment we will talk about the West Coast D's game. Maybe we can talk about that a bit with Michelle Redfern.
Yeah.
Who is a massive West Coast Eagles fan and friend of Chicks Talking Footy. So we'll talk to her in just a moment.
I'm Jason Twizel McSheen from the Purple Bombers, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
That was for you, Moddy, being a big Bombers supporter.
Thank you.
And Jason's a great friend of our show, and we have a very special guest on the line. Her name is Michelle Redfern. She's on the board of the Williamstown Football Club and big campaigner for gender diversity in sport. Welcome to Chicks Talking Footy, Michelle.
Well, it is lovely to be here.
Oh, you must be having the week of your life.
It's pretty good, I can tell you. It's look, every grand final week is fantastic, but isn't it even more fantastic when your own team's in the granny?
Yes, I was. I feel very relaxed this grand final week myself. But
sorry that you do, but yes, isn't it nice?
Well, I'm a Hawks supporter, so I had a good weekend of a couple of premierships.
You did. Yes, the VFLW and the VFL. You got the double, which was fantastic.
I know. Who gets to win two premierships on a day? But
well,
anyway, enough about me.
What happened?
Enough about Hawthorn,
yes.
Please.
Exactly. That'll be it. No more of that stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Michelle, when you were sitting there watching the game on the weekend, how long did you take before you went, I think we've got this?
I was sitting here with my wife and it was definitely half time, and I thought, we could be right. And then just listening to the promo with Jason Twazon McSheen, who is my dearest friend, and he actually married Rhonda and I exactly 6 months ago. So he's texting me the whole way through because Jason has been predicting this grand final for some time.
Okay.
So Jason is now known as the Oracle. and he's texting me through the first quarter going, you've got it. And I'm going, be quiet, don't jinx us. And anyway, so look, I did relax at half time, but up until then I thought, you know what, anything could happen. And then the Oracle texted me again to say, Michelle, you have got it, because no team has ever come. And he started quoting statistics. I said, good on you, Bruce. So.
I think it helps that Melbourne were goalless at that stage, Michelle.
Yeah, but you know, you never know. And I always say, third quarter's a premiership quarter, so you just never know. But no, I was feeling pretty relaxed.
Yeah,
I'm a Bomber, Michelle, but I'm like you. I go, okay, they are 60 in front and the other team have only got 6. But, you know, I don't want to call it too
soon. Something could go wrong.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Now, Michelle, it's Bree here. So how are you feeling about the week ahead? Like, do you have a ticket? Are you going? Tell us a bit about your build-up this week.
So the build-up, so no, I don't have a ticket and I'm not going. I didn't go in the West Coast Eagles ballot for a whole bunch of reasons I won't bore you with, but that's okay. The week, the build-up started with an audit of the merchandise. So, and Beck will know, I did tag her in one of my tweets and say, right, where are we at with merchandise? So the kitchen table was covered. I went, right, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Right, so we're all covered. So every day I have had a different piece of merchandise on, and because I live in the city, I've had great pleasure in, and I've got a fairly calm week from a work perspective this week. I've been trotting around the city proudly displaying my various caps and scarves and having good chats with people who either say, "Garn the pies," I go, "Yeah, righto, whatever." But very good-natured banter and lots and lots of blue and gold, particularly today in town when I was trotting around. So my lead-up is keeping it on the down low. We're all very calm, but making sure there's merch on every single day.
Now, Michelle, I love your hair, and I know this is bad radio, but I love your hair. Are you like spraying it blue with like a gold stripe?
Oh, hell no.
Look like a real eagle.
No. Look, I've been accused of a lot of things, but no, that won't be one of them. But,
yeah, we saw the nails.
So I did get the nails done today, and they are blue. So, you know, that's absolutely... So both sets of nails, the claws... are blue, so that's all done. And the hair will remain intact. And I've got a couple of, in fact, I've got a very big day tomorrow. I've got the Essendon Women's Network comedy lunch and then our Williamstown Awards night tomorrow night. I might be dusty Friday morning, but... I've got to look nice, keep it nice, and, you know...
Okay. Yeah, you don't want to write yourself up too early.
Oh, goodness, no.
Now, Michelle, we just found out today the Chicks have been invited to... talk to the players at the in the Utes on the before they go on down the grand final parade, which is very exciting.
Brilliant.
Who should we talk to, and what should we ask them?
All right. So I'm thinking you need to have a bit of a word with Jeremy McGovern. Now, he's not a man of many words, but just say, look, Jezza, just keep Jezza. It going there and keep that back line tight. And then, you know, you really have to go up and say, ooh, ah, Mark Lacroix. what's going on. So there's a tradition in our household that when Lacroix gets the ball, it's face breath, let's wait. But then there's a chant and there's a dance and, yes, ooh, ah, Mark Lacroix.
I'm going to adopt that for grand final day for sure.
Yep. So let's hope he's on fire.
Hasn't he been an amazing player for you guys over all these millions of years?
He has, and I obviously don't know any of these people personally, but, from a great club man, really fantastic to watch, just wonderful with the crowds and the supporters. And just, when he's on, but, I've got to say, I grew up in the era of when the Eagles first started and we had the wonderful, Peter Matera, Peter Sumich, and when Sumich, when you look at Sumich and Lacroix, they're both going to go down in the Eagles record books as silky goal kickers who can snap it on the run and what have you. But I've got to say, I would always put money on Lacroix rather than Sumich.
Now, Michelle, let's talk about the game. What makes Collingwood a dangerous opponent, do you think?
Oh, Big Mason up front. That guy.
Gosh.
Talk about peak at the right time. And the guy's about 19 foot tall. So, but I've got to say, Steele Sidebottom has been really good as well.
Oh, yeah.
The thing that I really liked, as much as I hate to say it, the thing I really loved about watching Collingwood is they're a little bit like Richmond were last year. And in fact, they're a lot like Melbourne. They just look like they're really enjoying themselves.
Mm.
And I don't know, Buckley's come into himself. He's looking like a coach who's really enjoying what he's doing. And I think, I don't know that you can beat that kind of camaraderie and that kind of, I guess the belief, but the happiness. There's a lot going on for them that's right at this point. And of course, last week the Eagles had a very, very, how do I put it politely, patriotic? No. They had a great crowd behind them and, the MCG.
Yep.
The Pies are going to have a lot of the crowd behind them. There's no doubt about that. And the MCG is, it's a cauldron any time of the year when the Pies are playing, but particularly on grand final day. But I think Cox is going to be the one that they need to watch out for. He's dominant, yeah.
Okay, and then switching to your team, who's going to win it for you? If you're saying Cox and Sidebottom are for them, two from your side.
Darling and Kennedy, definitely up front if they're fine. But McGovern, you just cannot go past McGovern. He's just, he's almost like a backline in himself. He's just so good. Shannon Hearn is fantastic. It's hard to pick people out. Dom Sheen has been good, but I do think if Kennedy and Darling are on fire and Kennedy can keep hold of the ball, stay on his feet and kick, we'll be right.
All righty. Well, I agree with you, actually. I think it's probably a battle of the forward lines.
Mm.
Yeah.
Although, speaking of the Collingwood crowd, it's normally if there's a Victorian team playing an interstate team, the whole of Victoria gets behind the Victorian team. I know that is completely the opposite interstate. So if Fremantle was in the grand final, West Coast supporters wouldn't cheer them.
But, hell no.
Yeah, exactly. But when it's a Victorian, we're the opposite. But this year, we're not getting that vibe from the Victorian
team,
are we?
Not from me.
not from a Richmond supporter.
No. And I can't remember the name of the player who said, come on, the Victorians need to get behind Collingwood. And look, I've got a interesting how many Collingwood friends I've got. I need to do an audit, actually, because they've all come out of the woodwork. But
you're only allowed to have four, just so you know, in your inner circle. So if you've got any more than four, you've got to get rid of them.
Okay, right? I'll put it out there now. They all need to lodge their applications for friendship by tomorrow and I'll vet them after the weekend.
Fair enough.
There you go.
Fair enough. Well, Good luck on Saturday, Michelle. And
thank you so much for the chat
and your support of our show this year. And
My pleasure.
Good luck with all your award winning this week. And congratulations on being one of the 100 influential women in the Financial Review.
Thank you very much.
We'll chat.
Thanks, and enjoy the weekend, ladies, and we'll talk soon.
I'm sure
Good
we'll
luck.
Talk after the weekend. Okay. Thanks,
we
Michelle.
Will. See ya. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy.
Cool. That was actually Paddy Hill from the Hawks, the coach of the VFLW team.
Really?
Well, you know.
Well done, Paddy.
I know you won't let me celebrate all night, but...
Well done, Paddy.
Fantastic.
Well done, Paddy.
Well done.
Yep. We've had a message come in from, I think we could call our number one fan.
Yes.
From Mikey Cole. He said, happy grand final, Chicks. Ladies, your show has been the highlight of the season. Much love, Mikey.
Oh, thanks, Mikey.
Thank you, Mikey. And you've been a highlight of our season too.
Yeah. And for Christmas, we're going to give you Dan Hannabury. Now, ladies, this is the start of the Q&A.
Yes.
Brownlow. So congratulations, Tom Mitchell. Mm-hmm. My question is, will there ever come a time when a midfielder doesn't win?
Well, who's a person who's won that's not a midfielder?
Oh, Barry Round.
Scott Wind was the last ruckman to win it in 92.
92. Mm. So why even have it as a Brownlow? Why not just have it a midfield award?
Thank you. You too?
I'm a bit frustrated by that. Like, what's a criteria? Number of disposals?
Well, they do get given. I read an article. The umpires actually get given some stats, from game stats, before they put their votes in. So if they get the stats, for instance, the same way you get them in the newspaper, they just says, you know, 24 kicks, da-da-da-da-da.
And that's how they do it.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm saying if they do.
Or well, it would influence some, you think.
I hope not.
That's always just numbers.
I think we want our umpires to actually have a greater understanding of the game rather than stats. So you need to have an awareness of who's actually impacting the game, even though they may only touch it six times. You know, they could have taken, had 20 hit-outs or stopped a player from kicking six goals, you know, the defenders. And
I agree.
That doesn't show up on the stat sheet.
That doesn't show up on the stat sheet.
So should there be an independent person as part of that? Does the emergency umpire vote as well? I don't know.
Yeah, or do we take it away from the umpires at all?
I'm with that.
Mm.
Mm. I mean, it can be other umpires. It could be the boss of the umpiring, whoever, you know, I don't know.
Like a panel.
Someone there to actually watch the game.
But it has to be someone in every game. I don't know. But I think if they can notice what the midfielders are doing, how come they can't notice what the ruckmen are doing?
Or should it be based on the coaches? Like, I mean, the coaches give their votes at the end of each game. Mm. Should it be a coach's award? So rather than...
I don't think it can be the coaches.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a good award, but that's a separate award. But how does it...
Yeah. Like, there should be someone there dedicated to come to the matches, watch what's going on and vote at the end of that, not look at stat sheets and...
Mm.
I mean, they can look at stat sheets, but they have to look at every column. They have to look at, hit out, say, to advantage, or they have to look at the score involvements or the assists.
But for that to happen, they have to have an understanding of matchups as well. Like, and that's not always known, because if clubs play a zone or they play a system, you might not have necessarily have always the same opponent all the time. So,
but Ben Stratton, he's never got one Brownlow vote, and I mean he's an excellent defender, and there was one game this year he just was a wall. It was against the Bombers, remember? He just they could not get
it was
past
terrible.
Him no
just,
seriously no votes though
Rance or Grimes didn't get one vote between them.
Phil Davis didn't get a vote either.
You can't tell me they haven't been people that are hugely influential in games.
So watch this space. I think that's
2019 we'll look forward to an overhaul of the Brownlow.
Yeah.
So I'll just put that in the capsule.
Could you flag that with Gil for me, Marty?
I will, the time capsule. You know, I saw him at a cafe having a latte once, so I'll go every week now on that same day. It was a Thursday. Just see if I can catch him again.
You think his routine's that tight that he's...
He was talking to Demetrio too, which was interesting. It was about a couple of months ago.
The old and the new.
Exactly.
Mm.
So that'll be in the time capsule this time next year. We'll see if they've changed it at all.
Yes. So, what are you doing grand final day, Marty?
Well, I am going to take it low-key, I reckon. I'm not going to go to the game. So I live south side, so I'm probably just going to hang out there. Might go have a party pie with my dad for a bit. But I like watching the pre-game and the leading up to and all that sort of stuff. So I'll watch a bit of that. Might go down to – might get my nails done. Might, you know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Get your nails done.
Yeah, I just wanted to see if you're paying attention.
Yeah, I was like, hang on a minute. Let me have a look over the desk there. You going to stop biting them? No, they're not bitten. That's
no, they're
good.
Not bitten.
Mine
good,
are, good anyway, we won't get my nails done. Anyway, we do have a very another very special guest on the line, another West Coast Eagles supporter. Her name is Casey Simon. She curated the Footy Almanac book, or the AFLW.
Great book. Love that
great
book.
Great book. We've got our fresh new copies, Casey. Mm. But welcome to Chicks Talking Footy.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Katie.
Casey.
Casey.
You did a me.
Oh, sorry. That's Monty. That's
I'm renowned for getting names wrong, but Monty just
I don't
just
think I ever get anyone's names wrong. I'm just putting that out there.
Should we start that again? Hi, Casey. Congratulations on getting your team getting into the final, the big one.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's pretty exciting. I really didn't think it was going to happen for us this year, so I'm just I'm so elated.
And were you surprised at how much of a smashing they gave the D's over in the West this last week?
I think everyone was. I was pretty confident going into that game. I thought we were going to get it done against Melbourne, no matter how many times people told me they wanted this fairy tale for the D's and they really wanted to see them win. I knew we were going to get it done. But, yeah, not like that. I was really stunned. By halftime when they hadn't kicked a goal, I was looking around the pub that I was in and I was like, What's going on?
Yeah.
Crazy.
And that was the first time that had happened in 91 years or something ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah, that in a final that no one had kicked a goal by half time.
It was sort of embarrassing.
It was awful. We were Bree and I were watching at the London Hotel in Richmond. And it was a, you know, 5% Eagles, 95% D's. And it was quiet. By 10 minutes into the first quarter.
But I read it, didn't I, Fee? Because I said to my Demon supporters, this is playing out like the night before. And they just looked at me and said, shut up.
Yeah.
And it played out exactly the way Friday night. It was worse than Friday.
It was way worse than Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Casey, how are you feeling about the week ahead? Tell us about your build-up. What have you been doing? Are you going to the game?
I am going to the game. I was lucky enough to get a ticket, so I will be there on Saturday. So I'm not sure if that makes it more nerve-wracking for me that I'm going to be there. But, yeah, I'm very excited and I feel very blessed that I'm going to be there. But it was funny listening to Michelle before about what you think about doing for the week leading up with your merchandise, because that's definitely the forefront of my mind too. I'm definitely planning all my outfits every day. But also, I wrote a piece last week for the Footy Almanac website about all of my football merch in terms of what to wear on game day to make sure I wasn't wearing anything that was jinxed. So I'm doing a massive audit of all my clothes that I've worn throughout the games this year that we've lost, because they're definitely not getting a run on Saturday.
Hey, I'm going to break something to you. You've got no effect on the game.
No, that's not true.
Do you have lucky undies and lucky socks and all of that?
Which one of the black bonds are they?
One thing I do, Casey, I'll just share, is when on game day I don't wear any colours that the opposition team have.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a ritual.
That's a good one.
So for example, if Richmond play Demons, I won't wear red. Or I won't wear blue.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, so that's one superstition
I
have.
That's your superstition?
Yeah. Do you have a superstition?
That's smart, I think.
Yeah,
that's smart. I love it.
It's all strategic. You've got to play a role on the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
My role.
Yeah.
I don't have any superstitions, but I'll just keep track of everything that I've worn when things have happened. Like I was wearing Nick Natanui socks the day he did his ACL against Collingwood.
Don't wear them again. Burn them.
So, Casey, do you have to keep a spreadsheet or something for that? How do you?
It's getting to a point where I do need a spreadsheet because it's getting a bit out of hand, but mostly now it's in separate drawers.
I'm good at spreadsheets, FYI. I can help you out there.
You need an algorithm for it.
Yeah, I think I need to help.
Yeah.
I think in Excel it's called a formula.
Now, Casey, is this your first grand final that you're going to, or have you been to others?
I was at 2015. I prefer not to talk about that day.
Oh, sorry.
So okay, sure, just do everything opposite
might
to
have
that.
Better memories of that day.
Yeah, I've got better memories of that day, but I'm happy to bypass those.
So everything I wore to that day won't be worn on Saturday.
Perfect.
For sure.
Perfect. That's exactly how I would approach it.
Maybe you need to burn everything from that day just in case there's any confusion.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. But then also, I don't think I can because they're all still West Coast stuff and I can't bear to see that being burnt.
Oh, after we lost
they'll go in the special draw.
After we lost the 2012 grand final, my Hawk scarf ended up in the gutter somewhere in Fitzroy, so
just next to you.
Oh wow.
Yeah, in the park. I was crying next to it.
Now, Casey, let's talk about the game. So who from Collingwood are you most concerned about?
I'm really concerned about Jordan Degoe and Steele Sidebottom.
Yeah.
I think in our first final we played them in week one, they were the two really dangerous players against us. So Steele Sidebottom really surprised me that week too. He was just everywhere. So he's definitely one to watch. And he's just played a stellar final series too. And then, you know, obviously polled really well at the Brownlow, which surprised a lot of people. So I think he's someone that people might have overlooked a little bit. So I'm a bit cautious of him going into this game.
Now,
I agree with you on that. Well, he's looking very silky, very Burgoyne-like.
There you go. Now, West Coast have been known, and I think this was what was commented on a lot after the 2015 grand final, of not playing as well at the MCG. Do you think things have improved since then? And I guess the Optus Stadium, as Monty has said, is a similar dimension to the MCG, so been playing on a similar field. Do you think that's improved their chances at the G?
I think it has. Optus Stadium is the exact dimensions of the MCG, so they've been training on that all year and playing on it. And we're actually undefeated in Victoria this year. We've won two games at the MCG, one already against Collingwood, and two at Etihad as well. But our the statement that people say that we can't win on the road when we've won four games in Victoria this year, I think is a bit funny. So I think that just says that a lot of people in Melbourne probably don't pay too much attention to the Little Eagles. But I don't think it's too much of a factor for us this year. I think, we've got the experience, we've got that new ground now, and we've beaten them twice, both at home and in Melbourne. Like, I'm feeling pretty confident, but I don't want to get too ahead of myself.
What time will you get to the ground?
I'm going to get there very early. I'll probably be there from 9 o'clock. I want to soak up the whole day.
You have to take an extra charger.
Yeah. All the social media posts.
Tip.
And and you'll do a write-up, no doubt, for the Footy Almanac of your experiences on the day?
Yeah, I think I will. Maybe if we don't get the trophy on the day, it might take a few days to write that report.
We won't expect it overnight. Yeah.
It'll be overnight if we win.
Yeah. And tell us about the Footy Almanac. You've recently released a book that's a collation of a whole lot of articles written during the AFLW?
Yeah, so it's the Women's Footy Almanac 2018 version. So the first year we did it was last year for the first season. We did a 2017 one and we were able to do another one this year that's just come out all about the 2018 season. So it's match reports that cover every single game that was played, as well as a lot of essays just about the game, people's experiences following their teams and coming back and playing footy, and a lot of different stories that are around the game from a fan's perspective. So it's a really good book that sort of covers all the aspects of women's footy, and it's just come out a couple of weeks ago. You can purchase a copy through the Footy Almanac website at footyalmanac.com.au, and then it's in a few selected bookshops as well.
Yeah, well done putting all that together. What a great record of the history of AFLW, and we've all got our copy now and looking forward to reading that, and we've certainly been promoting it on the socials and where we can on the show as well. So well done.
Beautiful.
And good luck for Saturday. We're going to be talking
to
a Collingwood supporter and in a moment, so just for some balanced reporting.
Don't wish them luck.
No, of course not. We wouldn't dare.
But thanks so much, Casey. It's been great to chat to you, and hopefully you've got a good experience to write about in the Footy Almanac.
Good luck.
Thanks,
good
everyone. Luck. Thanks
See
for
you
having
later.
Me.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Casey.
Bye.
Hey, I'm Mikey from Saints Pride, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
That one was for you, Mikey. Mikey Cole from Saints Pride, great supporter of the show, and president of Saints Pride. Hopefully your team has a bit more luck in 2019. I think you deserve it.
Mm. All right, now here I go. Question Q&A number two. Should you take injured players into big games?
No. Ooh.
Well, I think the lesson from Friday night was a big no.
Yeah, no.
Well, no. I think you could.
And I also think.
You both think no? Is there ever.
Well, there was
an
also
exception?
A post I saw on social media that said. It was about Burgoyne, and they said, oh, you know, he played. It came out that he played with broken ribs, which now makes sense during the.
Oh, the other.
Yeah, during the finals.
Oh, did he?
And they were like, what a champion. And I was thinking, I don't know that that's what we should be praising because we also have to look after
player
welfare.
I mean,
he is a champion player. There's no doubt about that. But he's not a champion because he played injured. He's a champion because of the way he plays. But I don't know. Should we be praising, you know, when people play badly injured as well?
Oh,
you know, we do have to be concerned about long-term health as well.
I think it's just talking about, you know, how their extreme abilities to rise above pain, blah, 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 blah. But so you think there's no, you don't think there's any exceptions
well, I
to
think,
that?
Well, I think it depends on the level of injury. You know, there are times, you know, players have played injured and they've got through.
Well, Stevie J played on one leg and kicked four goals in a quarter.
Yeah.
You know,
but
I mean,
there's the flip side, isn't there, Marty? It's like, look at the timing of Treloar coming back from a double hamstring and Goldsack coming
Amazing.
Back from, you know, 8 months after an ACL.
Yeah.
So it's all about timing. Richmond's injuries, I thought, were untimely. And we had a week off, and they just didn't look right on the night. But if you look right, like if they make a calculated risk that they're right enough to go, then you have to back them in, don't you?
Well, I think you can do that with the champions that have got the X factor. So I think you can do that with the Stevie J's and with Dusty. I was the coach, I would play him. But I don't think you can take two in, and I think Richmond shouldn't have taken Asprey in. I mean, he was on a drip a couple of days before.
He was in hospital.
You know, I mean,
the day before.
Is that not a sign?
And also, you've got replacements in those positions
waiting to come on.
Yeah, that's right.
That are fit. So I thought that we could have replaced Asprey. With a like for like. Dusty's a match winner, so maybe not.
I'd put keep the X factor in. But so then that takes us forward to McGovern potentially. And also Jeremy Howe.
And Shuey.
He did ankle or something. Shuey hurt his ankle or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I reckon they'll all probably. Howe might not play. I don't feel confident about him. Paige may know something.
Yeah, maybe we can ask Paige in just a moment. So, any other Q&As or dinner table chats? I've got something.
Okay.
The Coach of the Year Award.
Yes. Won by Nathan Buckley this year.
Won by Nathan Buckley. Congratulations.
Well deserved.
Because I think he's endured a lot and he's pulled his team from 13th to a grand place in the grand final. However, Clarko, what do you have to do? Four premierships. He's mentored five of the current senior coaches. They've been assistant coaches to him and gone on to become senior coaches. One of his players this year won the Brownlow. I mean, what do you have to do to to get that?
I mean, it's a staggering stat that he's never won it.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea that he had never won it, even in his premiership years. He won three in a row.
And still didn't get it.
And still didn't win any of those. Are we sure that he didn't win any during any of those premiership years? He didn't win it.
No,
who won it?
I don't know who won it in those years, but I know that he has never won it, which to me just brings down a little bit of
research.
The
research.
Yeah.
If you could crunch the numbers for me, Molly, that would be great. Now, tonight's been our grand final show, and it is all about the fans tonight. We have been blessed with many, many, you know, guests this year, but we wanted to make today about the fans that are have their teams playing in the grand final. So we have Paige on the line and Cardona, Paige Cardona. And she did a lot of reporting for us during the AFLW seasons over the last couple of years.
And we did the Pride, AFLW Pride game with Paige.
Yeah, that's right. He was a co-host for
great,
the AFLW
great
Pride
friend
game.
Of our show.
Basically a great friend of our show. Yep. And also Pies supporter.
Massive Pies supporter.
Massive Pies
Massive.
Supporter.
Go to
the Pies. And Paige, how are you feeling? What's your vibes?
Feeling pretty good, actually. It's been a funny kind of week. Certainly, I don't think it's really kind of hit me yet that we're going to be playing in a grand final on Saturday. I think I'm still trying to come to terms with beating Richmond the way we did. So, to that end, it's been quite an exciting week to date, and hopefully it gets a little bit more exciting on Saturday night.
Did you give yourself any chance of beating Richmond in the prelim?
Oh, look, it's one of those funny things because last week I was really calm going into the match. I was, in a sense, just really quite happy with the output of the team for the year. I didn't tip us to make the top four, let alone the eight. And so really it was just kind of getting one finals win under the belt and anything after that was a bonus. And you'd be really hard-pressed to find any Collingwood supporter that could truly turn around and say that they were confident all week when the matchup came up against Richmond. So certainly after the first quarter, it was pretty good football. We tend to start our quarters pretty strongly. And then, to really kind of, chip away at them the way we did in the second quarter and, was a real testament to the character of the team at the moment and the way that Bucks has been coaching. And it worked out a great result for us and here we are and it's been a bloody grand final. I can't believe it.
Well, Bree was talking earlier tonight. She's managed to engage the left side of her brain and not be too emotional about football during the show, so commend you for that. Bree's a Richmond supporter. But the parallels between the stories of Richmond last year and Collingwood this year, Collingwood finished 13th, Richmond finished 13th. Next year in the grand final, so it's a bit of a fairy tale story. Hopefully, coming up.
Yeah, it's I think every team, apart from Adelaide supporters, that is, you could have every team sort of last year looking at Richmond and going, well, why can't we do that? Richmond really for a long time had sort of struggled for many years. Until really last year, they hadn't won a final. They'd gone so many times in the finals without winning and managed to go straight through and win the whole thing and deservedly so. And it's hard to sit here sort of as a Collingwood supporter and you go, oh, well, gee, well, we finished 13th last year. They finished 13th last year. they had a review at the end of 2016 and put some really great people around Damien Hardwick. And, the results really showed on field for them. And the football club was just generally a better place to be. And, when you compare that to Collingwood in such similar parallels, it's kind of hard not to sort of, in a sense, get carried away with that sort of emotional side of it of, well, we've put so many good people around Bucks. Buddha Hocking's come in, Long Muir's come across from WA. There's been something like 40 staff around the football club that have been replaced. The players are... They're just beside themselves. They're so happy with life. They feel that they're really on a mission. But also you can just tell in the way that, they're smiling on the track, they're telling jokes, they're playing with a lot of freedom. And I think that's that carefree football that, you want to be there, but also being in a professional environment comes with its, high demands and expectations. And you can just sort of tell, at this time of year, usually for most people, this would be sort of, I guess, building up on them. And for us, it just sort of seems like, oddly, another game. So it's exciting as a supporter because, things look like they're clicking. And I didn't think we'd be playing in a grand final. I thought, we were building a premiership-worthy team. But the fact that we could potentially pinch a grand final, maybe a little bit before, the time we predicted to do it, is really, really exciting.
Now, Paige, Bree here. Just to extend on that a little bit, I've got a lot of great Collingwood people around me and I've, sent some, you know, lovely messages out to wish all of my friends, you know, best of luck for Saturday. And every time I get a message back, they're almost apologetic, like almost like saying, oh, you know, I didn't expect to go this deep in the finals. It was enough to make the eight. Just really proud of the team. And I really do get that sense that, yeah, it's just come as a surprise and you're just riding this wave.
Yeah, I mean, you're so right because, you know, I work at Fox Footy these days and, you know, I have a lot of non-Collingwood people coming up to me and saying, well, gee, I really want to see Collingwood win. I love what's happened. It gives my team hope that we can do the same. And it, by the same time, you're kind of half apologising and kind of at the same time a little bit humbled by it. You know, as a Collingwood supporter, you are used to having such sort of, you know, pure hatred and, you know, from all the supporters. And, but, you know, it's hard not to like this team. I think if you take away the black and white stripes, I think for a lot of people, there are so many stories within this group of Collingwood players that a lot of, you know, us average Joes that can almost draw parallels within our own lives.
I agree with you, Paige.
It's a really wonderful story. I think, you know, Nathan Buckley, you know, comes that close to losing his job and it has, you know, completely turned it around. Tyson Goldsack suffered a knee reco 5 months ago and, you know, is back out playing fantastic football. Bronny Majacek was playing in the VFL last year, driving forklifts for a living. Jaden Stevenson was a kid living in Ferntree Gully playing under 18 football.
With a heart, you know, condition.
Exactly. You know, Josh Thomas was driving Ubers and working in the gym, serving a two-year ban in the middle of his career. And, you know, how often do you hear of players taking 2 years off and coming back better than they were before they left? There's just so many. I mean, you look at the, you know, the boys from GWS that have come across that have got a second opportunity at Collingwood. A big one for me is Jack Crisp. No one knew who he was. He was just part of the Dane Beams trade to Brisbane and, you know, the steak knife thrown in. And now, you know, he was phenomenal last week against Brisbane. And, there's some really great stories about this group. And I think as a supporter, it just makes you so proud to barrack for them. And it's an exciting time.
They come across, look, they do seem like a nicer group. You know, it's not Malthouse, Tony Shaw kind of, you know, scratchy blokes. They do seem nicer, more approachable people.
I definitely think, you know, that Collingwood used to be known for being, you know, supporters were pretty rough, arrogant. You know, they gloated and boasted and carried on. And I couldn't tell you how non-true that is for this group.
It seems
every game this year, you know, I've started off, you know, hoping most weeks just to be competitive. And then all of a sudden we got a couple of wins on the run and, you know, things just sort of started clicking and we thought, oh, hang on, no, can't get carried away. And it looked like we might play finals and then we ended up in the top four position and, you know, and here we are. It's very, very different to the team of 2010 that was, you know, the best team of the year, won convincingly in the replay. But dominated all year, and there was that expectation that we would win, even though obviously there had been 20 years between drinks. But this year, it's very much like, well, we all feel pretty calm. There's no real nerves or anything along those lines. It's quite, you know, we're just proud of the team nonetheless, I think.
I know how your nerves are playing out. You hit the tweets harder when the more nervous you get. Paige, thanks so much for chatting to us. And, you know, tweet hard. How are your fingers? Are they rubbing off yet?
Oh, yeah, look, I'm just trying to keep it a bit low-key early in the week. I think once I get to the grand final parade on Friday and then I'll get to my seat to the MCG on Saturday, it's probably going to hit me. But,
Have a great day.
Exciting, so.
Have a fantastic day. Good luck to your black and whites and look forward to reading your tweets.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
And congratulations on a great season.
Thanks so much, Paige. See you, mate.
Good luck on Saturday.
Bye. Go Pies.
This is Titus O'Reilly and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy.
Yes, Titus wasn't happy after weekend. He's a massive Demons supporter, but you can listen to the chat that I had with him on our podcast, joy.org.au/chickstalkingfooty.
Do you know what? I actually spoke to Titus today, bumped into him, and he said a West Coast supporter even bought him a beer at the game because he felt sorry for him.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Now, we do a bit of community notice board at the end of each show,
we do.
I wanted to alert you to a project that's going on called the Australian Women's Archive Project. Someone I know really well now through Hawke's Pride, Nikki Henningham, and someone she's working with at Melbourne Uni. Sorry, I don't have that name in front of me, but they're doing a research project to record women in history, and particularly women's history in sport.
Oh, great.
And there's a lot of stuff that's gone on that hasn't been recorded and researched yet. So they're literally they have had a little bit of funding to do that, but not enough to really see the project through to the end. So they are crowdsourcing that. I do want to encourage you to get behind them and even just follow what they're doing. You can find their page on Facebook, Australian Women's Archive Project, or they have a website, womenaustralia.info/AWAP, or just Google Australian Women's Archive Project. Read all about what they're doing. And if you've got a bit of coin, they'd certainly appreciate a donation towards that. So get behind that. But there's
that
some other things going on this weekend too, isn't there, Moddy?
Well, I like what the AFL are doing around, the ground and along the Yarra. In Yarra Park, they've got what I think they called their live site. So they've got everything that you can imagine going on there. But one of the great things is they've got player appearances all day, basically from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. each day. Each hour, there's two or three different players. There's some of the chicks, but starting tomorrow at 9 a.m, Adam Tomlinson, Kane Turner and Sam Petrevsky-Seaton. Then it's Jack Silvani and Luke Parker. And also, the kids
pretty
can get
high
down
caliber.
There, get their photos. There's all those sort of handball competitions and face painting and all that. So I reckon that's a good thing that they do.
Well, the Eagle supporters and Pie supporters can get their face painted in their colours.
They can. Another good thing we're doing next week, you and I, Fieser, is we're going down to the AFLW Draft Combine.
Yeah, so we'll
Tuesday.
Be reporting on that for the next show.
It starts next Tuesday for a couple of days.
I'm
and we're
so jealous. Have a day job.
I haven't yet told my day job that I'm working on Tuesday.
Yeah, get rid of that.
Good work, buddy.
I'm self-employed, so I gave myself some time off. But stay in tune. We're going to be... Breezer and I are going to be down by the Utes at the grand final.
Oh,
point.
Yeah, say good day to us.
Reporting on that. So if you see us, give us a wave. Otherwise, the podcast of those interviews will be up as a special snippet on Friday. So we better actually do that.
Okay, for me, Eagles by 28. Fieser?
Pies by 24.
Eagles 7.
Ooh, all right, cool 28-24-7. I'm writing it down.
We'll see what those results are next week on Chicks Talking Footy.
Happy grand final day.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.